Our goal tonight, as always, is hopefully to learn more about the one that we call God, our Father, Jehovah, Elohim, the Almighty, Father, Lord, a lot of different terms for Him. And the reason that we need a goal like that, and the reason why we need to continue to emphasize that, is because that when you really come to know someone, and in particular when you're talking about someone who is unseen as far as physical form is concerned, if we really come to know God better, just like when we know the Lord Jesus better, then we love Him more. I mean, the more you know about Him, the more you understand about Him, then how can you not love Him? The first declaration in verse 5 of Psalm 100 is, "The Lord is good." That is not a casual observation. That is a declaration. That is a declaration of truth. That is to say, this is the character of God, and there is no change. You may be described as a good man or a good lady or a good person, a good young man or a good young lady. But that's not in the same way that we're talking about the goodness of God. The possibility of Him not being good is not a possibility. And so when you read verses like James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift has come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. There are some things that are different in different lights, but there's no difference in the character of God. You can trust Him. You can count on Him constantly and consistently. And so when He's talking about God is good, this means that what He gives to us is good in terms of quality. It's going to be the best that anybody can receive, including the gift of life. And also, when God gives gifts, they are good in terms of the purpose that He has for them. You take your life, for instance. The fact that He made you male or female suggests that He has a certain purpose for you, a certain role for you. What you do with the days of your life, He gives you the option, but He calls us through His scriptures, through His message, through His word, not only to recognize His goodness and His purpose, but in terms to make His goodness our goodness and His purpose our purpose. In Nigeria, you might have noticed a few moments ago that Wayne mentioned in his prayer that God is good all the time. I believe the origin of that comes from congregations where preachers in Nigeria some years ago started this practice. The preacher would say, "God is good." And the congregation would say back to the preacher, "All the time." And then the preacher would say, "All the time." And the congregation would say, "God is good." So let's do that. I'm going to say, "God is good," and you're going to say, and I'm going to say, "All the time," and you're going to say, that would not be a bad practice for us from time to time, would it? You might remember the late Ira North would begin the Amazing Grace Bible class every single episode or every single show, or it wasn't a show, every service, that he'd have that practice of having the congregation at Madison to say the 23rd Psalm together. That was a good practice. And so it would be a good thing for us to do, at least individually and occasionally collective, to say God is good, and then to remember all the time. It's not some of the time. It's not part of that. We're talking about His character, the makeup of His being. Oh, I know that there are millions and perhaps even billions who want to blame God for everything. And that's easy to do. When things are beyond your control, when things are beyond your power, and you want to blame someone, it's easy to blame God. But God's not to be blamed for any evil. He's not to be blamed for anything that is not, in our view, good. There's some other explanation for that. It is the devil who has introduced sin. It is the devil that has introduced death and the suffering that goes with that. But God is good all the time. Sometimes we see His goodness immediately in our lives, and sometimes we have to wait, and that's hard. And it may be years, and it may be decades before we realize, as we look back upon a certain event or series of events, and we say, I could not for the life of me figure that out then. And there may be some things in life that we'll never be able to figure out this side of eternity. But again, the example of Joseph rings so well. You meant it for evil, but he, God, meant it for good. Why is that? Because that's him. And so the more we come to know his goodness, the more we love him for his goodness. He is good. Not that he was, not that he will be. He is good all the time. So we praise him tonight as we sing this next hymn, Praise the Lord. We sing him not because what he does. Let's just don't think about all the things that God does. Let's think about the person that he is. He is good. Secondly, in verse 5 of Psalm 100, the psalmist says, His mercy is everlasting. Again, we're talking about the nature of God. We're talking first about God's character. There's no possibility of evil or sin within him. And then there is no possibility, at least this side of judgment, there's no possibility of him not being a merciful God. 1 John 4:8 actually has the little statement, God is love. You want to define God? God is love. And along with that love, some translations use the expression for this term mercy, his loving kindness. God is loving kindness, or he is loving kindness. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, that very same verse that tells us that he is the God of all comfort, says, first of all, the comfort comes from him being, first of all, a father, the father of mercies. Now again, what this means is, from eternity, before Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, from eternity, God is merciful. We understand the need for mercy. We understand our own need for it, not just in terms of spiritual matters, but in personal relationships. You know, there was a film back in 1970 called Love Story that had a very popular line in it. Love means never having to say you're sorry. You know that term I used this morning, that Greek term for baloney? You know, that's not true either. I mean, that's just, we're going to have to say we're sorry a lot. And we need to. Sounded good at the time, and then people got to thinking, that's not really true. And this is why that we go to the Father in prayer and we ask again for forgiveness again and again, because we realize that we are weak and we're frail and that we sin, and we want so much to be pure in his sight, and he promises that we are as we live penitent lives. But since God is eternal, his goodness is eternal. There's no end to it. His love is eternal. His mercy is eternal. There never will be a time when they do not exist. Now, obviously, as far as time itself will concern, God, again, because he is a holy God, will bring the entire world into account for how that we have lived. But the very opportunity that we have to be saved is evidence again that God is merciful. And if he is merciful, Jesus says, if you expect to be forgiven, you've got to be forgiving. And we need to remember that one too. I don't know if you've seen this plaque. It shows up in bookstores from place to place, but there is a plaque that has someone asking the question, Jesus, how much do you love me? And then below the question, there is a portrait or a picture of the Lord stretching out his arms just as far as they can go and saying, I love you this much. And of course, what the arms depict are his arms when they were nailed to the cross. When we wonder about the nature of God, the God who is everlasting in mercy, we need to run to the cross. We need to take our sins there, our failures there, our shortcomings there, and be reminded that even by a holy God, he is merciful. And again, the day is going to come when that time of grace and mercy will be over as far as the world is concerned. And while we urgently must do everything that we can to get the message out into all the places of the world that God's mercy extends to the very end of time, but then there will be judgment. Let's sing, though, about that mercy as we think about his nature. His nature is mercy as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And then the third quality the psalmist mentions in this psalm, devoted to thanksgiving. His faithfulness endures. Again, some translations render it his truth, which is the same idea. Again, if something is true, it's true. There's no untruth. God is faithful in his truth and what he has revealed about himself, what he's revealed about the nature of life, what he's revealed about the temporary nature of this world and the eternity of heaven, the eternity of the soul. God is faithful. This expression refers to God's promise that is alive and well. It's been true since Adam and Eve, and it will continue to be true to whoever is in that population of the last inhabitants of the earth as we know it. So he has been faithful to all past generations. There is an expression in the Old Testament that says he will be faithful to 1,000 generations. Well, we're not even anywhere near that in terms of the history of the world. But that's just a figure of speech that says there's no limit to God's faithfulness in terms of human genealogy. He will be faithful to all the future generations, just like he has to past ones. Now, the study of the promises of God in Scripture is a rich study. It would be worth your time just to begin sometime going through Genesis and then going through each book of the Bible and finding a promise of God. In search of, is there a promise that God has not kept? I've not been able to find one. It's not that I'm putting him to the test, but I don't think you can find one. He is a God who keeps his promises. For that matter, is there a promise as long as you're doing the right thing, as long as you're living according to the will of God, is there a promise that he has made to you, which comes to us through Scripture, that has been broken in your relationship with him? Now, you may have broken your promise to him, but can you think of a promise that he has broken to you? This text promises faithfulness to everyone who's gone before us, faithfulness to us, and then faithfulness to all of those who will come after us. That is a promise, but it's based upon a God who does not break promises. Now, in our assembly tonight, we have at least two families, and I'm going to ask for participation of one of them. We have at least two families that are four generations. I'm going to call on Brother Whittle just for a moment. And I'm going to say, Brother Whittle, you are soon to be 94 years young. Correct? In July. Has God been faithful to you? If you could not hear him, he said, absolutely. Dawana, you are going to be my age. So, let's don't go there. Dawana and I are in the same class. Dawana, has the Lord been faithful to you? Becky? Has the Lord been faithful to you? LB? Has the Lord been faithful to you? She said yes. Now, I could also ask that of Brother Gardner and Becky, and of course, Kristen is back there too, and Adam. I just didn't know what Tucker would say, you know, if I were to call upon the Gardner family. There's going to be a time where he's going to say, in fact, I think Adam's taking him out, right? There's going to be a time where he's going to say too, yes, the Lord has always been faithful to me. Isn't that wonderful that you can see that in the unfolding of faithful families? To him, and we commend both of these families and others of you that are not quite there. We have some three-generation families, and there may be some others that I've not really thought about, but I thought about these two, and I know their answer is absolutely. Thank you, Brother Jay, for leading us off and for giving us that answer, because that's the truth. We can be unfaithful, but it's not in God's nature to be unfaithful. What does that say about him? And what does it say about us? And so we sing, great is thy faithfulness. We have a very brief invitation for anyone who is ready to respond. And my hope and prayer is that we all respond to the invitation, because what we're concluding with tonight is a very beautiful little devotional song that is entitled, God is So Good. There are four stanzas there that Stephen will lead us in a moment that, again, verify the claims that Scripture has made and that we ourselves have found in life to be true. God is so good. So this we know. There are a lot of things we don't know. I'm mindful of 1 John 3 and verse 2. The Apostle John says, there are some things that have not been revealed to us. We do not know, for instance, how we're going to look, how we're going to appear when the Lord comes. That is, when he changes these bodies of humiliation into bodies of his glory. He says, we don't know how that looks. Even John did not know, writing by inspiration. That had not been told him. He says, we just know that we're going to look whatever he looks like. That sounds awfully good to me. We're going to appear as he appears. So this we know, that the Lord is good and that his mercy is unending. It is everlasting as long as there is life. And then once we enjoy the heaven that awaits us because of his promise, that will be one endless day of the blessings of God. And then his faithfulness endures to all generations. You know, I know we have great-grandparents in the audience tonight who worry about the world that their great-grandchildren are going to be raised in, and the world that our grandchildren and the world that our children will be raised in. The uncertainty of all of that must be overwhelmed by people of faith who believe that the faithfulness of God will endure beyond all of the changes and uncertainties that might come in the course of human history. Now that's faith in the faithfulness of God. And so it is to this God that we invite you tonight And we invite you not just to know more about Him, but in knowing more about Him and being reminded of that in both the Word as well as in hymns that have been inspired by real life experiences and study of that Word, that you will not only come to know Him better, but you will love Him more. Oh, how God deserves to be loved. Oh, how the Lord Jesus deserves to be loved. Jesus says, if you do love me, you will obey my commandments. So tonight, if there's someone who's ready to be baptized into Christ and have all those sins washed away, all the guilt of the past, including whatever may be in the life and upon the heart, stain on the soul this very moment, all of that can be gone as a result of being buried with the Lord in the waters of baptism, because that's what He's promised. And we have no doubt about that. We have no question about that. Great is His faithfulness to forgive and to cleanse us. Someone needs to come back and begin anew as an unfaithful child of God. You can be faithful again. And if there's another need, we hope you'll reveal that too. Let's sing together, God is so good, while we stand.